T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Will Caleb Williams work in Chicago? Hey, what's up? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It's the one sure thing we have in tonight's first round of the NFL draft, Perloff. And it's getting a little crazy about how there are zero questions really about Caleb Williams, or there have been, and how this is going to work out in Chicago. But as we're getting closer and closer now to, you know, the selection being turned into the commissioner, you are starting to get some of those anonymous sources who are coming out and questioning Caleb Williams and his character.
Yeah, but how many times have great players had anonymous sources come out and say something about them? The other thing, too, is the second he was crying after the game, that's been around forever. Has he done anything in the pre-draft process that's make you had any questions about him? He's basically perfect in every interview. He's been great. I feel like this is a can't-miss. Since Trevor Lawrence is the only other one that I remember recently, since Andrew Luck, there's no other number one pick like this. This guy, he's amazing. And the character stuff, like, at least he's not a jerk. Yeah. Maybe he's oversensitive. I get that. But listen, this is a new generation of quarterback here, Maggie. This is what you're going to get. He's a full human being here. But regardless, he can run around like crazy and make every throw that ever existed. He's going to be amazing. He's not going to have to worry about losing.
Okay, so let's take these two separate things, right? One is about the questioning of his character and the questioning of, is this guy going to be emotionally, I guess, mature enough to play on the NFL level, is kind of what this is getting at. Because we had David Fleming, who is a draft analyst for Meadowlark Media, Dan Le Batard show family, and also worked at ESPN the magazine and Sports Illustrated for a long time. And he said he was talking to a scout who did remain anonymous, so take that for what it is. And he did say, and we can hear cut 9, that Caleb Williams crying was a red flag.
And I reached out to a guy who's really well-connected, a former scout, really well-connected across the NFL with GMs and front offices, and I was blown away by his reaction.
What did the scout tell you that you can report?
I hated it. Hated it. He would scare the shit out of me if I was working for a team. Raw emotion is great, but Caleb's thing, that was ridiculous to me. That threw up major red flags.
Okay, goes on to say more about the crying.
You just lost a game in the middle of your fucking season, and it was like your third loss in the Pac-12, and you went hugging on mommy and crying in mommy's arms, and it just seems really freaking weak and nuts.
Okay, now this is where he makes an interesting comparison for Caleb Williams, and did not mean this as a compliment, obviously.
And I will tell you, he scares the out of a lot of NFL teams, too. The book on him is he's just kind of a weird kid. One GM told me it's like if Prince played quarterback.
Right. Okay. So Prince kind of, not exactly macho, I guess you would say, but Prince kind of, you know, always got, you know, the big outfits and the blouses. And, you know, Prince was also a virtuoso and an artist, so it could actually be seen as a compliment, but clearly the scout did not mean it as a compliment, Perloff.
Yeah. I mean, this is all ridiculous stuff. He said a former scout. So this guy, you know how the old school NFL is. Like, they want grumpy, like, sort of gruff guys. But that, I don't think any of that is super relevant in today's NFL. First of all, you look at all these draft picks, like, they're all different than the old school NFL player. Right. I mean, I think the only guy who feels old school in this sort of top 10, Marvin Harrison, doesn't say anything. He reminds me of his dad. He's as quiet as can be. But everybody else is super flashy all over social media. That's kind of the modern athlete. And Caleb is one of those. But obviously, if you're going to look for a problem with Caleb Williams, he's obviously, he has a feeling like a little Todd Marinovich, where his dad's been setting this up forever. Mm. You know, got in Oklahoma and has already said, I'm planning to be the number one pick in the NFL. It's just, I'm sorry, the talent is there. I don't like character is great. I understand they have to do all these interviews, but you see the college tape, like, it almost always translates here. So how can you see what he did at USC the last 2 years and not think this guy is going to be awesome? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, so let's put the character stuff aside, because again, yes, this scout kind of seems like he's coming out of central casting of, like, crotchety. Did he have, like, a cigar in his mouth? Like, as he was saying this, it's almost get the, like, visual of a guy just sort of sitting around watching film in his office cursing, you know. Sounds like something John Gruden would say, something like that, a little more old school sort of dude. So then let's take the football fit here. And Caleb Williams is a great player, a super talented player. To me, though, saying this is going to automatically work with the Chicago Bears is being as naive as you could possibly be, because there's never a sure thing in this draft, and it's never a guarantee, because you need both sides of this thing to work. You need Caleb to be good and for him to translate to the NFL, and you need the Bears not to screw this up. And the Bears don't exactly have this great track record of developing quarterbacks, because they've literally never done it. Now, this is like getting handed the keys to a Ferrari. Do you have a driver's license? Can you handle the V8? I don't know if you can. So to me, like, saying that Caleb Williams and slotting him in for just, you know, this is going to be the Bears' savior and all this is going to work out exactly as we planned, I don't think there's any shot that it goes as smoothly as that.
Yeah, I don't see it that way. I totally understand. And I've said this on the show, that you put that C on your helmet and all of a sudden you stink at quarterback.
I just think
the Bears have done all the right moves to support him, and he's just so good that he feels like a can't miss. I also think Marvin Harrison's a can't miss. I think Malik Nabers is a can't miss. So I think there are can't misses in draft.
Different calculation for wide receivers, though. There's a different expectation and pressure put on quarterbacks that wide receivers don't have coming into the league.
Okay, so you're saying this can't miss thing is only true for quarterbacks, in a sense, in the way you're talking about now. I understand what you mean, but... Yeah.
Also the elite ones, you know, like you're talking about, Caleb has already been, you know, put in a different class by everyone. It's like there's a certain number one overall picks, and then there's other number one. There's Alex Smith and Baker Mayfield, and then there's Trevor Lawrence, and there's Caleb Williams.
Right, well, that's totally accurate, right?
Yeah, but I'm just not sure that this is going to go as smoothly as everyone predicts. I just, you know, there's a million different ways this goes sideways. I'll give you a couple. One, Bears coaching situation. I mean, Eberflus does a really good job with the defense, but are we sure that he's going to be the right guy overall? Bears have never been shy about firing a head coach.
Yep.
What about the general manager? Does he get to stick around? So there's ways that can get screwed up. Does Caleb, I'm not talking about the character stuff of him crying or painting his fingernails or any of that stuff. I don't care. But is he going to be that sort of leader, you know, who's going to be able to command the locker room right away? First of all, I think that's hard for any rookie to do, but then you're asking for a quarterback to take on that responsibility. Not everybody's Joe Burrow. You know, not everybody walks into the locker room and it seems very comfortable sort of being that guy.
Yeah.
And Caleb, you know, there were questions about that too. And listen, the Bears had him go to dinner instead of the official visit happening and doing dinner with the owner and the front office and stuff like that. They had him go to dinner with the teammates. I think that the team wanted a little bit of a scouting report from DJ Moore and from Cole Kmet. Yeah. How do you feel like you can play with this guy?
Wait, what do you mean, though? Like, you think there was any chance they would come off that pick? Because I think there was zero chance.
I think they just wanted intel. I think they wanted intel
for what?
From the player's point of view. Because everyone in that building, we're talking about the Bears now with Caleb Williams, and are we sure this is going to work? Everyone in that building now has to buy in to make sure this all goes the right way, right? So if you're the coaching staff, you're still getting to know Caleb Williams. You've got to understand, how do I best motivate this guy so that I don't lose him? And that, because if I lose Caleb, I'm getting fired. You know, you're trying to figure out what's the best way to motivate him. Is he a guy who needs a hug? Is he a guy who needs a kick in the butt? You know, you're just trying to get intel on what this dude's really like.
Yeah.
And I think people do act differently when you're sitting there with your coaches as opposed to your teammates.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think honestly, the big thing that's going to be for these wide receivers and quarterback to work out is, you know, are you going to have a group celebration in the end zone with like four guys dancing, or are you going to have one?
Okay.
By the way, I'm looking at a lot of these number one picks. Like, a lot of them had coaches turnover early and it was okay. Like, Jared Goff came in with Jeff Fisher, not with Sean McVay. And then next year came McVay. I don't think that's a rule. I mean, I think he could be totally fine with a coach change. In fact, I would kind of hope he has a coaching change.
Jared Goff, though, was kind of careening a little bit towards bust material until the trade to Detroit kind of revived his career.
Did he get MVP votes his second or third year?
Then why'd they get rid of him? I mean, well, if it was going so swimmingly, then why'd they decide to trade him?
But still, that was kind of a hit. I mean, they went to the Super Bowl in his third year. I mean, if the Bears got that, geez Louise,
didn't score a touchdown in that Super Bowl, but sure. No,
Okay.
If he's a hit, he's still with his current team.
I mean, okay, yeah, but if Caleb Williams goes to Super Bowl in his third year, that would be pretty cool for Bears fans. I think they would take that. It definitely didn't hurt Jared Goff's development when Jeff Fisher got fired and Sean McVay came in. In fact, the exact opposite. It's funny too. I'm looking at Joe Burrow went number one in 2020, and they were going to fire Zach Taylor, but they brought him back because Burrow was hurt. Anyway, I just think that if you're a good quarterback, you could deal with this kind of turmoil. Trevor Lawrence dealt with Urban Meyer. I'm not so worried about the coach thing as you are. I still think he's going to be a hit. Here's the thing: they know they have the quarterback for 5 years, so they can work with the quarterback, not the coach. I don't think you need the strong support staff for Caleb Williams. I think he's that good. I really do.
Oh, I don't think anyone doesn't need it.
They just get new guys then around him.
Okay, I mean, and how much confidence do you have that the Bears are really good at this in terms of picking coaches?
Was the Rams good before they picked Sean McVay? That's the thing in the NFL. Bad coaches get fired bringing in good coaches. There's no rhyme or reason there. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, I think at some point you have to say you've got a bit of a track record, you know? And I don't, the Bears, what was their last great coach? Was who? Dicka? I mean.
Well, yeah, but I mean, who's the last great Cowboys coach?
Well,
Jimmy.
Criticize them all the time. I'm just saying, this is where when you say Caleb Williams, this is going to automatically work. I'm presenting the case that there's plenty of potholes here that are going to be navigated and that are in the way. And any one of these could blow a tire, if you will.
Yeah. All that being said, oh man, this is going to be awesome. I think it's going to be really good. Well, I mean, this is to me, this is so different than Bryce Young last year. Basically, Panthers needed a quarterback and he was the best. Looking at Trevor was like this. Joe Burrow was like this. Kyler Murray, totally different. Baker Mayfield, totally different. Jared Goff, kind of similar, but not really. This is one of those, man, we really hit the jackpot here. I honestly think 32 teams would have taken Caleb Williams number one. So how often do you get that? Do you think anybody, I understand we've had some people say that Jaden Daniels would be their number one. I don't think so. I think every team in the league would take this guy. We haven't had that in forever. No one's ever discussing who's the number one pick. I mean, have you ever seen a mock that doesn't have Caleb number one? It's just not a thing.
Okay, but I also, there's a lot of groupthink out there. And, you know, he was tabbed so early as being this generational talent for good reason. And then also the Bears didn't decide to keep any of this a secret. They traded Justin Fields. They cleared the runway for Caleb. They only brought Caleb in for an official visit as far as a quarterback. They sent every signal possible. They weren't trying to mess with this at all. So would anyone making a mock draft put someone else in the top spot?
I just think there's this knowledge that every team would have done the same exact
thing. Well, our pal Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl said he knows for a fact that Caleb Williams was not number one on all 32 boards because he's talked to teams who had Jaden Daniels.
There's no way you could take injury risk Jaden Daniels with number one over Caleb Williams. It seems impossible to me. I love Jaden Daniels. I think he's electric. But dude is too skinny. You can't take him number one and watch him get blown up by a defensive end and then watch Caleb Williams go to the Pro Bowl. No GM is going to do that.
Yeah, but that's also that's not talent versus talent.
Right, but that's evaluating who should be the number one pick. I'm saying I think they all had Caleb Williams number one.
Okay, you can call us up and answer this question. Is this going to work? Caleb Williams and the Bears. You got people like Perloff who thinks this is turnkey. Come in, day one, this thing is going to go great, smashingly. Me, I feel like I've been watching football long enough to know that this is not going to be as smooth as people think. 855-212-4227 right now on our poll at Maggie and Pearl on the Twitter. Will the Bears drafting Caleb Williams work out? Very simple. 57% right now saying no. No, it will not work out. You can go there and you can vote. Let your voice be heard. Again,
honestly,
yes.
I think a bigger question.
Are you putting out a competing poll?
No. I think a bigger question. I think Caleb's going to work out. I think Jaden's going to work out. I think we're on the brink of a 1983 draft class. I really do. I think this is like, this is it. You've only had six once. The 83 is the last time you had six quarterbacks.
Yep.
I think this is the class. I think Caleb's going to be a superstar. Mm-hmm. I think Jaden's going to be a superstar. And I think one of the other guys, I think Penix might hit big too. I think you're looking at like, this is going to be, we're going to look back and we're going to say, wow, remember 24 when all those great quarterbacks went? And it feels like to me like you're not on the same camp.
Nope, I'm not. I'm not as high on this class as you are. But that 83 class, of course, famously, Elway, Marino, Jim Kelly, Ken O'Brien, also had a nice career.
Yeah, I think you'd have at least three Pro Bowlers in here. So we've come close to six, and usually the heavy classes haven't worked out exactly how they wanted. This one feels to me like, man, this. You look at all the spots that they're going to. Every one is so, sort of attractive too, because in Denver you have Sean Payton, in Vegas you have Devontae Adams, in Washington you have a good receiving core with Jahan Dotson and Terry McLaurin, and then the Bears were a 7-10 team who's picking number one overall. This has a chance of being like instant success to me.
Sorry, also Todd Blackledge, also Tony Eason. Did I have to keep going there with all the quarterbacks in 83? Just to give a little more context of what Perloff is comparing this class to, which was a lot of names that we still know to this day, and obviously multiple Hall of Famers.
Yeah, I think we're going to have, I'm not going to say there's going to be three Hall of Famers in this class, but I definitely think there are three Pro Bowlers. I mean, everybody makes a Pro Bowl. Three real Pro Bowlers.
The question is this going to work between Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears? Night one of the draft coming up in just a matter of hours. On the other side, we give you our bold predictions for tonight. Do that next. Don't move.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Big, big day. We're all making draft day jokes. Sonny Weaver, Kevin Costner's character in the movie Draft Day, who somehow picked a linebacker one and a running back at six. How is he going to manage that salary cap?
He would have been fired 15 times already.
Oh, my God.
That movie sucks, right?
But, well, I mean, it sucks. It's not a great movie anyway, but the actual football logic, it was so 2004, not 2024, where now people realize you got to take quarterbacks high. So, debate, will Caleb Williams work out in Chicago, I guess, how we're phrasing it. To me, like,
will this work?
Yeah, I feel like that's a good question, but like, it's so positive to me. Like, I can't even see it. Am I being such an idiot right now? I'm blinded by the number oneness and the awesomeness of him that it doesn't even register that this isn't going to work.
As someone who told me, if Patrick Mahomes had been selected by the Bears, not the Kansas City Chiefs, that you don't think Mahomes would be having the career that he's enjoying now?
Definitely not. Three Super Bowls?
Then I think you have to apply the same logic here. This is still that same Bears organization who is drafting a really talented quarterback, but that does not mean a sure thing. It does not mean that he's going to live up to the generational moniker, because you need two sides to tango here.
But
you need Caleb to do his part, and you need the Bears to do their part.
Generational is one thing, but if he throws 28 touchdowns and 15 picks and they get to the second round of the playoffs, that's a gigantic hit. That's a home run. I'm not saying three Super Bowls. Like, what is your expectation here that all of a sudden he has to be Patrick Mahomes?
We're calling him a generational talent. What else would my expectation be? That he's going to come in and throw a couple nice passes and then go home?
This is big. If he takes the Chicago Bears to the second round and is a Pro Bowler within his first 3 years, that's a hit. For sure. This is a quarterback draft. Like, what? He doesn't have to win the Super Bowl to be a success here. Like, if he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, that's really good.
What do you think we're judging Trevor Lawrence off of?
Do we think we're judging him for having
a couple good games? And then...
Yeah, no, I don't think he needs to win a Super Bowl. I think, like, a lot of teams would take Trevor Lawrence. I think he's really good.
Not what a lot of teams take him. Can you actually live up to being a generational quarterback if you don't actually win a Super Bowl? I mean, I guess Dan Marino would probably be the guy, but he's famously was a great quarterback who didn't win.
I think the expectation, if he's like an all-pro quarterback, then that was a great draft pick, right? Like, he needs to win the Super Bowl for it to work out for you?
I think he's got to be damn close. How do we judge Josh Allen?
Well, I just think, yeah, I mean, I think Caleb Williams at some point has to get the Super Bowl, but he's got a lot of time. Like, yeah, I mean, I think he will. I think he's got like a 18-year window here. He's really good quarterback. Matt Ryan made the Super Bowl. Yeah, Caleb's going to be good, but he doesn't have to be like Dan Marino to be a successful pick. The Bears bars, that's what you're talking about here?
We're talking about generational quarterbacks here. I'm talking about, is this going to work out? Is he going to, are he and the Bears together going to be able to get this thing over the finish line? Which of course means Super Bowl. What else are we doing this for?
I don't think there's a single Bears fan alive who would not be thrilled if Caleb Williams led them to the wild card this year. I mean, thrilled.
Okay, that's year one. If you get to the playoffs, that is very rare for rookie quarterbacks. CJ yeah. Stroud showed you that this is, he turned in an all-time great season last year. But no, this is, if we're putting somebody in the elite category, the goal is Super Bowl. What? Why else would we be doing this?
You're Chicago Bears. You need a star. You haven't had a Pro Bowl quarterback. Maybe Kyler made one. I don't even know if he did. In decades, like, you want a guy who's really good and is going to throw 35 touchdowns like the modern NFL. You want a star quarterback.
Okay.
And that's the expectation there. I don't think there's any pressure on him to get the Super Bowl in the first 3 years. That's quite unrealistic.
Well, now we're just changing the time. Like, no, you're saying 1 year, 3 years, no, 5 years. He's got to make it.
If you're telling me right now, if you're a Bears fan and he's going to come in there and throw a lot of touchdowns and be a Pro Bowler and lead in playoffs, you're like, yes, you are so stoked with this pick.
Right. And then what happens with that success?
It's a different discussion. You're getting down the road here, but we have totally different bars here. If you're telling me you could get CJ Stroud here, like what Stroud did last year, oh my God, you're over the moon.
Right, and what's the expectation for Stroud this year?
I mean, they're seventh in odds, so divisional round.
Okay, and what's the other strategy now that has become the norm for people? Why are these quarterbacks getting chosen so
high? Trying to get the Super Bowl with a cap, but...
No. Let's spell it out for everybody. Trying to get to the Super Bowl on the rookie deal. And that in the first round is 5 years technically, but really it's like four.
Yeah, right. But if their defense isn't good and he throws 47 touchdowns and is amazing, like, Bears fans are going to be excited about this. I mean, Caleb, I think we have way different bars here on what's going to be a hit. If he's a Pro Bowler in the first 3 years, then this is a successful selection. That's all I'm saying.
Go to Adrian. He's in Maryland. Good morning, Adrian.
Hey, guys. Hey, Perloff, are you a lawyer?
He was a paralegal.
He's got more excuses for his person not going to jail for some reason.
You know, if I ever got in trouble, I would bring Perloff in to defend me.
My thing is, you, I'm not going to say he's going to be a bust or he's going to be great. This is not turnkey. And Maggie, you're right. He's got a four-year window. He's the number one pick. If they don't get to at least the NFC Championship, they may move on from him eventually in that 5 years. I don't like his demeanor. I don't like his attitude, just like that, whoever that reporter is. It's a red flag, especially if he loses games. They got a team around him. We're going to see. They had a team around Justin Fields last year, and if they won one or two more games, they're in the wild card. So I'd rather have them move down, get more picks, and cap Justin Fields than take this pick. But they're at number one, so they have to take the pick, and we'll see in 3 years, 4 years, if he pans out.
Yeah, Adrian, thank you. I was on the Caleb and not Justin Fields train for a lot of reasons. I was a little opposite there of Adrian. But I do agree, like, I just don't think it never goes as smoothly as anyone thinks it's going to.
What if he was Justin Herbert? Would that be a good pick?
What if he becomes
Justin Herbert? He's like a career like that where he has great numbers, but the team isn't quite there yet. That'd be pretty sick. If you got Justin Herbert in Chicago, oh my God. He'd be the best Bear. He's going to be the leading Bears passer by year four of all time. For real. I'm actually not even making that up. Caleb is actually already closing in on that.
I think there is, though, when the winning for Caleb, there is one caveat to it, though, particularly with this division. This fan base is tired of losing to the Packers. And if Jordan Love is going out there winning divisions, possibly winning Super Bowls, if the Lions become the new NFC dynasty and Caleb's throwing for 4,000 yards and they're not going to the playoffs, they're sometimes going to the playoffs but losing in the first round, that will get old fast.
Yeah, but the bar is so low at quarterback. My friend Big Cat, you know, longtime famous Bears fan, yeah, Barstool. He's like, if you get me a quarterback who can walk and chew gum, I'm going to have a parade.
But they had that in Jay Cutler and they hated him.
Well,
but Jay Cutler was a very complicated figure.
Well, again, and that's what I'm saying. This the obstacles here could come in any different direction. I'm not saying that Caleb has the demeanor of Jay Cutler, but it, again, like, you're never really sure. And then the other part of this too is I would love to check in with Big Cat if once it's 3 or 4 years down the line,
yeah,
and once you have gotten a little taste of it and you have either gone to the playoffs and maybe you won a game or maybe you lost a really tight, yeah, game, then let's start talking, because your expectations change a lot once you get a taste.
Yeah, but I don't think they'd blame the quarterback in this situation. They would say, oh, he's a star. Everyone around him is disappointing, kind of like the Justin Herbert model in Chargers. Everyone thinks he's awesome. By the way, Caleb didn't win a thing in college, and he had one of the great college careers of all time and didn't win at all.
But think about it, though. Justin Fields also didn't win a thing with the Bears, and he won just one game to win 8 wins for the Chicago Bears. He may still be the quarterback, because it was against the Packers, who they can't stand, who they didn't want to see in the playoffs and have more success.
I always thought that was flawed anyway. The idea that you win that final game and now all of a sudden you're making a decision for the next 20 years
this
of your franchise
hates
was
the Packers
so stupid.
As much as they want a good quarterback. So I think, if Caleb is just, he's racking up numbers and the rest of the division is eating on titles, that will, and especially when he's the number one pick, I think that would rub them the wrong way.
I totally 100% disagree. If they have a quarterback who throws 35 touchdowns in a season, they will worship that guy for the rest of time.
No, I'm living that. Yeah. I'm living that same model. The Bills had no quarterback for 20 years, my whole life basically, and now all of a sudden they have Josh Allen.
And he's not won anything,
and he
they
hasn't
still
won
worship
anything,
him.
And they still worship him. But the expectations have gotten much bigger on him. It's no longer, hey, you're just happy to be here and be in the conversation. Now it's, how the hell are you going to beat the Chiefs?
Right, but they don't put that, like last year, I don't think anyone put that on Josh Allen. He played great in that game. It's just the team can't beat the Chiefs. Like, Josh Allen's still a god in Buffalo for life.
Yes, but now the expectation is Super Bowl. But that will happen to Caleb.
But we all secretly know the problem is not Josh Allen. The problem is the coach and the rest of the team. Like, did anybody rip Josh?
Get a couple opinions for the bad throw in the end zone at the end of the game against the Chiefs.
I mean, he played a hell of a game.
I'm just saying,
you
act like these guys are Teflon, not thinking that in the moment and as their careers go on, people start to get expectations and start to get frustrated if the winning doesn't come.
Is there any Bills fans frustrated with Josh Allen right now?
Definitely.
Really?
They don't want to trade him. They don't want to give up on him. But without a doubt, he's reckless with the ball. He's careless. He turns the ball over all the time. He's always leading the league in interceptions and fumbles. Definitely.
But you said that they don't want to trade him. They don't want to get rid of him, which is what Perloff is saying.
Well, I feel like I've seen most football fans, I feel like, blame Sean McDermott and a bunch of other things too.
Well, you're sitting next to me.
How different would that calculus be if Tom Brady was still in New England kicking your ass and going to the Super Bowl?
Well, I don't want to bring up those memories.
Right.
Bogus is here. He's got headlines for us. That's a nightmare I don't want to relive.
The plan was to shoot as many threes as possible. So the Heat put up 43 of them in game 2 in Boston last night. 23 went in. That's 53%. Coupled with holding the Celtics to just 40 second half points, the Heat got their surprising split, 111-101. Tyler Hero hit 6 of those threes for 24 points.
Honestly, I thought we generated the same looks in the first game. Just guys, including myself, weren't taking them. And, you know, the talk amongst the team was to just be aggressive, take the open shots. If they give it to us, you know, don't hesitate, let it go.
So without Jimmy Butler, the Heat will push Boston to at least 5 games. Game 3's in South Beach on Saturday. The Pelicans, without Zion Williamson, could not do the same thing, getting trounced in Game 2 in OKC, 124-92. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 33, but enjoyed holding New Orleans under 100 again, even more than that.
We know that's where we hang our hat defensively. And we, these past couple games, just tried to give it all we got and execute the game plan.
T-Wolves forward Naz Reid is the 6th man of the year, winning the narrowest vote in the current version of this award. Reid got 2 more first place votes than Sacramento's Malik Monk. They had the same number of second and third place tallies. The checkbook's out in Detroit. Lions wide out Amon-Ra St. Brown reportedly signing a 4-year deal. It guarantees him $77 million, while Olamide Sewell guaranteed $85 million over 4, but nothing apparently imminent with QB Jared Goff, who is entering the final year of his current deal. Do you want to pay him like the younger, more elite QBs around the league?
Man, this was always going to be a tough one. What do you do with Goff? Because it's a quarterback who's playing well, whose team's in the NFC Championship game with a 3-score lead. I mean, does he reset the market? Are you resetting the market with a Jared Goff? because that feels a little rich.
If I'm Goff, you already have enough money to live five lifetimes. You take a little bit less to keep all that talent around. I don't think Goff should push him as hard as he can. So I wouldn't, if I'm the quarterback, I stay in Detroit. I know he said some weird things about Detroit, but he was like upset about how they treated him when he first got there or
and
something.
And then like walked it back this week, but yeah, didn't understand what he was saying was the actual context of his remarks. Like the first thing sounded real. The explanation I didn't understand.
The explanation was corny.
Yeah.
Really
what
corny.
Was it? Well, what was it?
It was essentially you guys took me out of context.
Oh, lovely.
Which no one did. Right. Well, he said exactly what he meant.
He said that basically the media has some like PTSD of how bad the team has been, and they're negative because they're constantly thinking to what was and not what is now. And so, listen, the media only just basically, in some ways, speaks for the fan base. So,
yeah, and he was like, "Oh, what I'm saying, what I was saying was that they're not always negative." I'm like, "All right, well, that's not what you said in the interview."
Yeah, good distinction. When you got to start explaining it, it's never good.
Detroit's a Midwest town. I figured they'd be nice to the Lions. I mean, they came from L.A. where probably nobody called about the Rams or anything. But I feel like Detroit sounds like a nice fan base, no?
Well, and it was
like
weird.
Minnesota.
His original comment, like we all sat here and thought it was going to be about people like crushing Dan Campbell for field goals and not. But it was like that they just are always prepared for a bad thing. Like they're always thinking the worst is going to happen.
Yeah, when you go 0-for, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's the chance, too, that Ben Johnson, the OC, leaves next year and takes Goff with him. That's very possible, whatever team that would be. Whoever doesn't get a quarterback tonight, get ready for the Goff-Johnson team.
He said,
it's like a political ticket.
Yeah.
He said in this quote, "I was speaking about our local guys, but I think that's kind of the world. Not to get really grand right now, but it wasn't necessarily specific to Detroit. It was the world, the media, sports world, certainly the NFL media, and the roller coaster that it is, and what it sells, and sells clicks."
Like what? All accurate, by the way.
But he was talking about Detroit in the original clip.
Right.
He said our local guys here.
Yeah,
it's so funny because I was
a little
watching,
less interested in what Goff thinks about the media.
I was watching a highlight of the Red Wings, and they were chanting "Jared Goff, Jared Goff." Like they seem to be into Goff.
Just take your W's, dude.
Yeah,
take
right.
your W's, and I agree with Pearl. Take your M's, but they don't got to be. It don't got to be $60 million a year. Like
he's already made $188 million.
Right. His wife's a millionaire too. Like just you're fine. Like
his wife's a millionaire.
He's a
Kristen,
model.
Kristen Harper is probably a millionaire.
She was an SI swimsuit model.
Yeah, she's a pretty big model. I mean, like. I don't know. I feel like he should.
Who cares if she's a millionaire? He has $188 million in the bank.
I'm saying that he retires tomorrow. He probably will be fine.
To EJ's point, like everything's positive. Just keep it moving.
Right. What are we doing?
Don't pause on the negative here when there's nothing there. We can move on.
Wideout Rashad Bateman signed a 2-year extension through 2026 yesterday in Baltimore. They did this instead of the Ravens just picking up their 2025 option on Bateman. He becomes the first-round wideout to sign a second contract with Baltimore. The Phillies' 7-game win streak's now a 2-game skid, 7-4 losers in Cincinnati last night. Elly De La Cruz had 3 hits, stole 3 more bases for the Reds. He leads the majors with 15 steals. The Cubs topped the Astros 4-3 after putting Cody Bellinger on the IL with broken ribs from a collision with the outfield wall 2 nights ago. There is no timetable yet for his return. The LA Kings got roughed up in Game 1 in Edmonton. They bounced back last night.
Up the wall, Byfield tipped it, moving in, shot, score! Andre Kopitar, overtime winner! Game 2, the series is tied at 1.
Thanks to this 5-4 win, courtesy of Andre Kopitar, Nick Nixon called the OT winner on Kings Radio. Vegas took a 2-0 lead with another win in Dallas 3-1, and the Bruins won in Toronto 4-2 for a 2-1 series lead. And Tiger Woods expected to receive $100 million, $50 million for Rory McIlroy, $30 million apiece for Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, all through the PGA Tour's new loyalty program. 200 players in total will get something, the top 36 unevenly, splitting $750 million. This is all mostly a reward for not bolting to live golf.
Okay, here's the question on that. First of all, do you think Tiger Woods really needs $100 million? You're talking about Jared Goff has enough to retire on. I think Tiger's cool. But where's that money coming from?
I think it's the money that they chose not to pay out in the first place. I think this was part of the thing. Like there was more money out around the tour that weren't getting.
Oh, that's right. Phil got mad in the first place.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if, ironically, that money was actually coming from the Saudis.
No,
they were going to dole out the money thank you for staying. No. Here's some oil money for
no,
you.
No, I don't think there's an official PGA Tour Saudi allegiance yet. I don't
soon.
Think that's happened yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
But soonish.
Yeah, I think there's more. Again, it just feels like had the PGA Tour taken LIV Golf seriously before it was an actual thing, we never would have gotten here. Because all the things that golfers were mad about that they left the PGA Tours at least now try to fix, or like, oh, we do have more money to pay out in purses and whatever. So it's all such a dumb fight that seems completely unnecessary.
And it ends with Tiger Woods making $100 million.
Yeah.
Is amazing.
And playing three times in the last 2 years while not going to LIV Golf.
Tiger Woods making $100 million at this point from your PGA, I think shows your sport's not in a good spot.
No, but is money well spent?
Oh, I don't know.
It is.
Oh, if he was connected to LIV Golf, they'd have to close.
Yeah. Oh no, I get that, but that like, what are you paying for?
Survival. Him.
You're paying to stay alive.
But how many tournaments is he?
Doesn't matter.
Because majors have nothing to do with this. The Masters. That doesn't matter.
He's still technically a PGA Tour player.
Bogey, she's right. Yeah. I agree with him.
But if you're okay, you just talked about should Jared Goff give back, you know, not take every dollar because of Detroit, and what does he need it for? Why does Tiger need this? Well, shouldn't it go to some other guy?
It's not about needing it. It's about him being Tiger Woods and the impact of him leaving.
Oh, I get it, but he doesn't have to accept the $100 million. Like that, could it be reinvested in a different? I'm not saying give it to Jay Monahan or whatever the commissioner of the PGA. I'm just saying, could it be reinvested in a different spot that maybe helps the health of the sport as opposed to just like, hey, Tiger, thanks.
Well, again, the health of the sport, is no health without him.
But they are
putting it in the thing that is keeping the health
That's
high.
That's not a strategy. The guy barely can walk.
Doesn't matter.
That's
as long as he's around.
Brands.
Pretty good bargain. $100 mil.
He took like a $700 million pay cut off of that.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
Based on what the offers might have been from LIV Golf.
Yeah.
He's taking pocket change.
Dude can barely get through four rounds of golf. Like, where's the long-term thinking here?
I mean, they're holding on for dear life.
I get that. It's like
now you're thinking about like a smart businesswoman, someone with foresight, somebody like, hey, maybe like this is a league that is on, and maybe I don't want to say it's deathbed, but it's not in a good spot.
Let's find the next Tiger. How about that? Might not ever be possible, but you know.
Yeah, just don't dismiss the idea that they maybe don't exist if he's not around. Like, you can think about 8 years down the road, but there is no 8 years down the road if Tiger is a LIV Golf person right now.
Yeah, I don't think but he was never going to go to LIV.
No,
right?
But I mean, I don't know if he was ever not going to go. Like, who knows what was
everyone
in his
why,
what meetings he had and what was in
sure,
his head.
Like, he's not. I know he's been against LIV, but he's not like Rory. I mean, I think he could have gone.
No, and they burned Rory to the ground.
I just think eventually these two are getting together anyway.
Yes, they have to.
PGA and LIV, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So is this money well spent? Like, I don't know. Thank you, Bogish, so much. 855-212-4227. Poll question out there for you. Caleb Williams and the Bears. Is this going to work? We get back to you in just a moment. Don't move.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
More Maggie and Perloff. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Mornings here on the Infinity Sports Network. Want to watch the show? Come on in. Good hair day for both of us today. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Twitch.tv NFL.com/InfinitySportsNetwork. We'll get to our bold predictions for the NFL's draft's first round in just a moment. But Rich is in California. You're up on Maggie and Perloff. Hey, Rich.
Hi, how you doing?
We're doing great.
You know, so many things have to happen for a draft pick to be successful. You've got to have a stable front office. You've got to have stable coaching staff. You've got to have the personnel there. I can pretty much guess that the Chicago Bears are pretty much a dumpster fire because they're actually picking first.
Well, and we know the reason why. That was a good trade for them. They traded with the Panthers, and the Panthers were terrible. So,
yeah, well, the Bears maybe not much better.
Fair.
But for them to sit there and say that that season or that pick is going to be successful if the Bears make it to the Super Bowl is a little silly. There are way too many factors that are all coming together. Yeah, it can happen if you're really, really lucky. But in the case of, we'll say, a Brock Purdy, you dumped him into a stable situation. He grew to be a pretty damn good quarterback. You take that same guy and you put him in an unstable situation, and you're going to say, well, he's bad, and he's not a great quarterback, and he's not a great leader.
Well, Rich, hold on one sec, though. Here's the question. We're talking about Caleb Williams. It's kind of been the question of the day today, which is this going to work out with Caleb Williams and the Bears? Perloff is very bullish that this is going to go great, and I'm not sure. I think there's going to be a lot of obstacles in the road. And then we start talking about, well, what determines whether or not this is a success? And to me, when you are – this is not a run-of-the-mill number one overall pick. You know, this is not, oh, gosh, it's a year where we're not sure. So in the void of that, well, we'll push Caleb Williams up to the top. That's not what this is. This is a deep quarterback draft with lots of great prospects who are rated very high, and he's even separated himself from that. So if you're going to put him in the category of John Elway and Andrew Luck and Trevor Lawrence, of course Super Bowl is the expectation. And I know things have to go very right, Rich. Thank you for the phone call.
Well, only one of those guys made the Super Bowl, and he got destroyed in his first three Super Bowls.
Luck retired early, so we don't know what, and got very injured. Again, a million things could happen. He got
but
hurt
Luck,
a lot.
But nobody's calling Luck a bust.
No, nobody is, but you have to agree that the expectation is for him to come in and be the heir apparent to Peyton Manning, and that's winning Super Bowls.
Well, yeah, but I think people are savvy enough to know, like, you can be a successful quarterback without getting to a Super Bowl, because I think we're talking about a different expectation. I think Justin Herbert's been a great pick for the Chargers, and he's done nothing in playoffs. Yeah, I think Josh Allen has been a great pick for the Bills, and he hasn't gotten all the way over the hump. I mean, there's star quarterbacks, and the Bears are so hungry for a star quarterback. Even more, they made it to a Super Bowl with a crappy quarterback, and nobody was satisfied with that. I think they'd rather have Caleb Williams be an All-Pro than have Rex Grossman get them there and get destroyed. Like, I think they are really eager to just have a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Rich is in Chicago. Hey, Rich, what's up today?
Hey, this is hot off the press. Hour ago, an interview with Kevin Warren.
Yeah, the president of the Bears. Yes.
He's been very quiet and hasn't said a whole lot about anything, but I wouldn't rely on polls. It looks like Warren's pulling the strings. Here's his direct quote an hour ago. We're really happy about our first-round pick, which obviously he's referring to Caleb Williams, reading between the lines. And then a second comment was, and we're going to put some real weapons around him at 9. So here's the play. Here's the play. And I looked this up, and I'm down on this if anybody likes to wager like I do. Williams at 1 and Odunze, the wide receiver from Washington, will be available at 9. Harrison won't, and the LSU kid won't. So if you want to parlay Williams and Odunze at 1 and 9, it's 4.5 to 1. He will be available at 9. He is a great receiver, and he will not go off the board before 9.
Well, and what's funny about that, Rich, and thanks for the up-to-the-minute intel. Yep. It's so funny because we're actually going to have Nick Costos from You Better You Bet to join us at the top of the hour to go through all the props and betting angles for the first round of the draft. We'll do that at the top of the hour, as I said. But you just had Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze on the same flight out to Detroit.
Yeah.
And they were sitting next, or I don't know if they were sitting next to each other. They were tweeting to each other back and forth, and seemed like they became fast friends.
Yeah, also, I mean, Caleb Williams played high school football with Olu Fashanu, the Penn State left tackle, and told reporters that we really want him. So, but I think he was kind of hooking up a teammate there.
The Caleb crying game.
Yeah.
That was when they lost to Washington and Roma Dunze.
One thing about a lot of people are now mocking Roma Dunze to the Giants, taking. There is always a chance that Odunze jumps Malik Nabers and is the second receiver taken. So, I think Schrager, who is Mr. Giants pick, I think he had Odunze there, but I got to double check. So, you never know. I like that 4.5 to 1 that we know Caleb's going 1. So, is that 4.5 to 1 that Odunze goes 9? What if your New York Jets jump up to 8 there, EJ, to try and get Odunze, though? There's a lot of people who, or maybe the Bills pull off some crazy move. If Odunze falls to 9, I wonder if people are going to try and get up to 8 where Atlanta could trade back. That's the only reason they make me nervous about that bet.
Yeah, I don't know. If you're trading from the 20s, though, to get all the way up to...
What if you're 10? What if you're, what if you're the Jets? What if you're the Colts? A lot of people have the Colts trading up to get another weapon. I don't know. It's just, it does sound odd. When Rich said it, it sounded obvious, right? But then, as you always say, nothing is that predictable.
Well, I also wonder how much draft capital are you going to sacrifice to trade up for a wide receiver, the third wide receiver off the board? Especially when it's a really deep wide receiver class. I love Odunze, everybody does. But if it's not for Harrison or for Nabers, would you really be sacrificing a lot, like to get from 28 to 9 or to get from the 20s up that high, up to 5?
I wonder if Indy could go from 15 to 9 for a second round pick. They might be able to.
We will get all the betting angles on this from our pal Nick Costos. Nobody does it better. From You Better You Bet. If you like to wager on what's going to go on in the first round, this is for you. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff, Infinity Sports Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.